aspects could well have significant influences on all of our lives. Thank you.
It's, I think, significant to note that last year at this time, certainly almost nothing in that's been said in the last three papers could have been said or even hardly conceived of. The sleeping giant is no longer sleeping. It's really taking off. We can't help but wonder, and those of us who live in Alaska and certainly those who live in northern Canada can't help but wonder what's the next year and the next two or three years going to bring. It's going to probably be even more fantastic than the last year. Now, I suggested earlier that we write our questions down. I'm told that I'm a bit sticky in doing this, and I probably couldn't read most of the penmanship anyhow. So I would suggest at this time that we ask verbally questions. It is a little before 5. I'll try to cut the questions off around 5 o'clock, and then if you want to discuss any questions further, you can contact the individual speakers. When you have a question, would you please give your name and the person here of whom you would like to ask the question, and then go ahead and address it to him. First, man on the aisle up here. Yes.
Well, I'm sure it's been considered. I'm sorry I can't give you definitive information on it, but I believe if you look at a map, you'd see that you'd be traversing a good many miles of the Arctic north, which I think you can find that your construction problems there, and I believe Mr. Henson would bear us out, would probably make this a pretty difficult operation. I'm sorry, I can't say this is definitely been studied. I know that we studied almost any as many routes as you could possibly drum up.
Yes.
I'm Paul Cruz, the consulting engineer from Anchorage. I have a question for Mr. Henderson. You mentioned, sir, that at the time you were pumping, it would actually increase the temperature of the oil because of the friction in the line. What happens if you have to shut down for a little period of time when your oil has discussed increasing the temperature?
The pipeline could remain shut down for a period of at least 3 weeks without having any serious difficulty starting up again. In the above ground sections, where the line of course is exposed to possibly in the winter very low temperatures, those sections will be insulated. Otherwise, below ground, the line will not be insulated. And it will keep its retaining heat sufficiently for about 3 weeks. Not likely that there would be more. very shutdowns would be expected to be
this arranged down here.
You said how long if it were 4 weeks? That's a very good point.
Yes.
Chris Cameron, I'm the director of the Alaska Geology Department. I'd like to direct a question to Mr. Henderson. Sir, the Valdez area and the southern terminus of your pipeline is located in one of the most unstable portions of the Earth's crust from the standpoint of seismic activity and tectonic activity. Could you possibly outline what portions plan to offset the effects of a severe earthquake or a tidal wave in that area?
Well, As far as the tidal wave is concerned, the tank farm areas are very much higher up than the tidal waves reach. We're talking about our tanks at levels of about 300 feet above the harbour, above the seawater. The geological examinations of the particular site that we've located indicates that it is very stable on that particular spot. That's on the south side of the harbour.
The general area, the pipeline will be traversing terrain that is, let's say, generally unstable. There are faults across that area, and there have been great vertical displacements in that area as you cross the Chew.
Well, provided the line is not restrained in those areas, the ductility of the line would be sufficient to withstand earthquake. For example, there were pipelines across the the Turnagain Arm during the 1964 earthquake, and these were never ruptured, not the main lines. Some of the service lines around Anchorage were, but not the main lines.
Yes, Dave.
Well, of course, as I mentioned, we had these grounded ice islands that we instrumented and got considerable information, but we have consultants working now on a design that coming up with a feasible design for a terminal in the Beaufort Sea. I think Dr. Payton might answer this much better than I, because he has done some work on it, and there's numerous concepts that they've come up with. We have not selected any one of them as being the one we'll work on, put definitive work on. Al, do you have any comments on that? I think you could best answer.
Well, to begin, the detailed study of the ice in the Beaufort Sea. Is this on?
Is it on now?
Yes.
Okay. Has been rewarding in that the environment is actually less severe and hostile to man-made structures than we would have originally thought a year ago. I think the more we study it, the more confident we become that such a concept as building a harbor is not sheer folly. Much as the same as a ship, for instance. A year ago, it didn't look nearly as practical as it does now, as after months and months and months of detailed investigation. The concepts involved in harbor design are, at this point in time, conceptual, which in which you dream up every scheme you can come up with, put the numbers in, see if it can be built, and see if it'll stay there, and price it out. And I would say that there are easily 10 alternate schemes that have been looked at this way, and at this point in time, I think we're down to something like 3. Does that sound right, Jim?
I think that's right.
I think the number 3 right now are the concepts that are under basic concepts, not detailed design, but basic concepts remaining under consideration. And it's way premature at this time, I think, to either list them or to say that they in themselves are feasible. They certainly seem to be at this point in time, but they need a lot more study on.
I'd comment here, Dave, that in the work we've been doing with these ice islands this last winter and this spring, we're out there in about 85 feet of water, which is probably close to what a large tanker would need. And we gotten a much better feeling for this, and we certainly feel that structures out there are probably entirely feasible. We are pretty confident we can go out there and make one if we have to, out to that depth. Now, this is out on the edge of the shore fast ice. You begin to go farther than the shore fast ice, and there are innumerable other problems. But as Hal says, this environment has a pretty cold wind blowing and a few polar bears out there, but it looks as though we could handle structures out there, of course, pipelines out to these locations. There was no, yes.
For the best of the Dad Stones and Company, Mr. Henderson, what is the schedule regarding the construction of the line, and what seasonal constraints are you under regarding construction?
The hopeful schedule is for completion in April, May of 1972. This would involve laying half the pipeline next year and during 1970, and also completing our haul road to the north and bringing in pipe by barge, as was shown earlier, into Prudhoe Bay during next summer, and then completing the northern half of the pipeline during the summer of, well, during 1971, and simultaneously constructing the pump stations, five of them along the route, and also the terminal at Valdez. as far as the seasonal constraints are concerned, we feel that we could work right through the year, except possibly during late December and most of January. In fact, some places it's advisable to work in the winter because of the frozen ground. Preferably we'd do the low-lying, flat, wet areas in the winter, and the mountain areas during the summer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr.
Excuse me, we can just barely hear you down here. Would you try to speak up?
Well, there are valves installed along the line, not necessarily at fixed mile intervals, but they would be installed at places dictated by the longitudinal profile of the line. I think if you worked it out arithmetically, there would be 10 miles apart, but in fact there are, this would vary. For example, we indicated a valve on either side of the Yukon River, and this would also happen on either side of other major rivers. The above ground and below ground construction, we think that above ground would be of the order of 50 miles, 40 to 50 miles on the northern section, and there would probably be some above-ground construction in the southern section, but not totaling more than perhaps 90 miles in all out of the entire length. Leak determination is done by the recording of pressures at the pump stations and the valves. Some of them at the pump stations would be closed automatically or by remote control at the pump stations. Others would be closed either by hydraulic power or pneumatic power, but operated on the spot by a flying patrol. There would be flying patrols continually going up and down the line.
Yes. Yes.
And if so, then in fact it would be possible building the Rampart Dam and the reservoir after once the main one.
Well, this would depend largely on the design of the project. One of the projects involves a whole series of dams, and the pipeline can quite easily be diverted to go across one of the dams. If it was a major dam at Rampart, with no other dams further up, we would probably have to do some relocation on either side of the river. But this can be done without spillage.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm Garrett Harden from Santa Barbara, so perhaps you'll understand my question. Addressed to Mr. Henderson, I wasn't able to make any quick calculation, especially since you didn't give any maximum distance between shut off valves. I wasn't sure how long it would take the line of patrol to get to the place, lower them and turn off the valves and so on. But if you take the worst possible case, how much oil would escape before he finally got the
shot
closed down by a flying crew?
I'm afraid I don't have that figure, sir.
We hope it would be less time than it took from Santa Barbara to South. We're sure it would be. Are there other questions? Yes.
Hi, Paul from BIA. How many men will it take to staff these stations? 12 stations that have
probably about 100, maybe slightly more. Plus, of course, there would be probably about 50 operators working down at the terminal. So, in the final concept, there would be perhaps 150. Something like that.
Yes?
What kind of training would those people have to have? What would be the possibility of using training meetings for that sort of job?
I would say it would be a very good opportunity. Very good.
Yes?
Concerning this question of leakage of the pipeline, could you tell us what the past history is of other pipelines and what their what the probability of a break will be in this line?
Well, there have been leakages due to pipelines, and don't let us get confused with Santa Barbara, because that's a totally different type of deal altogether. Most pipeline leakages have been due to, in the case of older pipelines, probably mostly due to corrosion. On this line, and on all modern pipelines, corrosion is guarded against by appropriate coatings and by cathodic protection. Another source, major source of pipeline leakage, which even applies to modern lines, is interference from external sources, either by accidental use of excavating machinery across the right-of-way, or in politically unstable countries, of course, by deliberate sabotage. But the type of steel that we're using on this line, and combined with the extreme study that's been put into stable foundations would ensure that we don't get any breakages of these natures on our line.
Yes.
No other methods have been considered except burying or elevated sections. And the decision of whether to bury or to elevate is almost exclusively a pipeline security decision. When it's, the pipelines are always most secure underground in good soils, and only only when that can't be met by burying will it be elevated. It's strictly a security measure.
Yes.
May I come back with another question? I'd rather gather that elevation of the pipe is a matter of insulation, heat insulation, rather than any other factor. Have you looked at any other methods of heat insulation?
That's been studied in great detail, and no amount of insulation will solve the problems over something like 80% of the line. The point I tried to make, maybe didn't make it very clearly, of course I wasn't talking about the Trans-Alaska particularly, but is that south of the Brooks Range there isn't a darn thing you can do to keep the permafrost from melting without artificial refrigeration. Nothing. Therefore, the bulk of the pipeline is dictated by an irrevocable fact. And really, we're only talking about mid-Brooks Range north in having any alternate available to us.
Probably there's another point here on insulation, too. It slows down the flow of heat, but yeah, it doesn't stop it. Are there other questions? Yes.
I'd like to ask the evaluation of how he's going to have a considerable investment in gathering this data on this trip to the area, and whether this data developed will become public information, or how he's going to protect his investment in it.
We're going to try to protect it as long as we can. Of course, we do have two partners in the project, Atlantic Richfield and BP, and they're sharing this knowledge, but we certainly won't make it public. I imagine once as we design a ship and have one built, why, you might be able to go to that shipyard and get one built just like it. But we don't intend to publish the data.
That appears, yes, Dave.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on that and ask a question. Well, how can you reconcile that point of view with the amount of government assistance that's going into public money and Coast Guard, University, National Science Foundation, ONR, which is assisting you in the data system that you're setting up, and then and you hold all information from the public?
We're paying for all the university information we're getting. The government people we have aboard are there by their request. They have asked to go along on this. They and have furnished the icebreakers on their own. We did not ask for this service. Sir?
You mean the Canadian government then will not share the information gathered by this project?
Well, they'll share in all the information they gather while they're on the trip. As far as the detailed design of the ship, they won't share in that, but...
Are there any other questions? It appears that there are no more. I want to certainly thank you all for attending the session this afternoon. I think we've had an outstanding group of speakers. I hope we give them a hand.